It's time to feel better with help from Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Allergies, nutrition, ultimate wellness, all discussed right here, right now. It's Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Here's your host, Dr. Suzanne.
Do you ever find yourself feeling like you're not good enough? You're always feeling like you're waiting for others to approve of you and your actions because you just don't want to make any mistakes. You are feeling a lot of shame and you have a tendency to be really hard on yourself. Well, you're not alone. You may be among the millions of people who suffer from low self-esteem. My next guest has 30 years of experience on the topic, and she's here to lift you up and give you some great tips on how to develop higher self-esteem. Please welcome professional speaker, best-selling author, and psychologist, Dr. Joan Rosenberg. Thank you, Dr. Joan. So, what's the cause of low self-esteem? Yes,
you know what,
Well,
let's start with what self-esteem is, because it's a pretty broad topic. And I like to think of self-esteem, it's taken from Nathaniel Brandon's early work on the topic when he described it. And it's this idea that you not only feel worthy of good things, you feel capable and competent to achieve or go after whatever you want. So it's kind of this notion of I'm worthy of good stuff and I'm capable of going after it.
Low self-esteem
then would be not obviously feeling the opposite of that you just don't, you feel neither worthy nor capable.
Right. Yeah. But this all happens at such a young age because we see that in our children. And I truly believe that, you know, a lot of it's because our children actually mimic our parents and we are models. You know, the people that we actually look up to also have low self-esteem. What do you think about that?
I would agree with you. I think that, in fact, I'm going to be doing a talk in a couple of weeks on the importance of parents dealing with their own emotional kind of stuff, if you will, for lack of a technical term, because when parents don't work out their own issues or concerns or the way that they were raised, oftentimes they visit that on their children, and they will be mean to their children, they'll be hurtful to their children, they'll tell their children that they're not worthy or that they didn't want them or that they're stupid or any number of other things that really undermine a child's ability to believe in his or her own capabilities. So well, it has a huge impact.
I know, I see this all the time, and you could see it even in the shopping mall when you're shopping and you see parents, you know, really grabbing their child and yelling at them. I actually feel that parents don't know how they don't have any other way. They don't have any idea of how else they can treat their kids. And just by default, that's what they do because that's what they were taught, you know, and their parents treated them this way. So obviously what, you know, one of the cause of low self-esteem can be from life events that you are dealing with parents. What else causes low self-esteem?
You know, I think that there's a challenge for folks. I tie this to my ideas around emotional strength as being part of what can help someone then develop high self-esteem. But some of the cause then is somebody's own inability to handle the unpleasant outcomes in life. So you know, if I don't handle disappointment well as a child, and I avoid activities or I avoid experiences that might put me about to face disappointment, and I avoid those things, I never develop a sense of confidence. I never have myself a sense of being capable of handling upsets, and as a result, I lead a very restricted life. So those kinds of things can also contribute to low self-esteem. So it's not just what parents may say or do that are hurtful to the child and undermine that child's sense of self, but it's also as an individual, I don't go out and try things and find that I can handle things when they don't work out. That also can lead to low self-esteem.
Got it. So what you mentioned, a really interesting term, emotional strength. So emotional strength is like the integrity of how you deal with trauma or deal with day-to-day actions. What else is that? What else is emotional strength?
You know, I break it down into two important aspects. And I'm sort of on a mission to redefine what emotional strength is all about, because, you know, we get into this stereotyped view of it, of thinking that it means shutting down or, you know, stiff upper lip or all sorts of kind of phrases like that. And for me, it involves two things. It involves feeling capable and feeling resourceful. And if I can, I want to break that down for you. And it, so feeling capable basically involves being aware of and kind of in touch with what's going on inside of you. It means that you're aware of what you think and you're aware of what you feel. And that in that, you're able to, again, handle unpleasant feelings. I think that this is really, interestingly enough, at a core of stuff. And I don't think of unpleasant feelings as bad or negative. They're simply unpleasant. None of us wants to experience them. But we need to be able to actually move through life with much greater ease. The second has to do with feeling resourceful. And when I think about feeling resourceful, for me that means that you feel okay doing things alone, and you feel comfortable leaning on people when you need to. And we got to do both in life, or we have to be able to do both in life, so that when you feel resourceful, then you're able to ask for help, and then you can acknowledge your needs and limitations, you can ask for help, and then you can hopefully easily receive what people give to you. So it's this inside aspect and this outside aspect that are part of emotional strength. Am I making sense?
Yeah. I love that fact that you share about how it's important to make, you know, like you just said, lean on, and I suppose really trust your own instincts within yourself. But when you need help, don't forget to ask. Don't forget to ask those people.
Right. And what I watch, Suzanne, is that a lot of people, when they won't acknowledge need and or their limitation, and they won't ask for help because they see asking for help as weakness, and they see need as weakness. And that's why this whole notion of me putting asking for need, recognizing need and asking for help as emotional strength. It's really emotional strength when you can do that, not weakness. So again, it's feeling capable, which means you can handle unpleasant feelings, and it's feeling resourceful, which means that you can recognize need and ask for help. And those elements are what comprise emotional strength.
And once you obviously develop emotional strength, it's all about building your self-esteem. It's all part of it, isn't it? The two together?
Yes, absolutely. It totally contributes to it. Because when you feel capable and you feel resourceful, then you're going to go after stuff that you want to go after. You're going to go pursue the goals and dreams that you have. And it means that you're going to be able to face the outcome of the challenges or the frustrations or the disappointments that you meet along the way. So it's the key here is that when we then go after stuff, we'll be able to handle it. And that's, again, when we have that high self-esteem. It's like, oh, I can go do this. And it's all right if it doesn't turn out. I can handle it.
It's all a win-win situation where once we start to see ourselves as we're capable people and competent, then our esteem ends up rising. Thank you so much, Dr. Rosenberg, for this uplifting information. For my listeners who want to learn more about developing higher self-esteem, go to drsuzanne.com/drjoan, drsuzanne.com/drjoan, or go to my Wellness for Life radio show page. This is Dr. Suzanne with Natural Strategies for Ultimate Health and Wellness. Until next time, stay well.